analytic land economy is operating across the KwaZulu-Natal North Coast. Syndicates and brokers, some operating under the guise of traditional authority, are demarcating plots on private and municipal land. Some are sold outright to home seekers, cash for stands that do not legally exist. Others are rented out month after month, a practice known as plot farming, turning land the sellers never owned into permanent income. In Quadacuza, no category of land is exempt. At Thornhill, a private farm earmarked for development, the owners spend millions installing bulk services. Then brokers moved in, selling plots on his land under a claim of traditional authority. The structures that went up now draw water and power from the services he paid for. He has won in court more than once. One eviction was carried out. The occupiers rebuilt. The next order was never enforced. He is in court again. In Umhlali, another property owner won an eviction in 2021. The occupiers moved next door onto Transnet land, where the settlement has grown to some 2,000 people, who are also now building along an active rail line. 5 years on, the owners had to pay 15,000 rand a month for private security to prevent further invasion. Transnet says the matter on their land is now in legal proceedings. And behind Sharkers Head settlement, more than 2,000 people occupy municipal land along the extension of Belita Drive, known as the P445. In October, the High Court halted their eviction until Quadacuza provides services at the relocation site at Flaxbrait. 8 months later, that site has nothing. Quadacuza Municipality says they have no money to carry out these court conditions. Same law behind every one of these cases, the PIE Act. And in April, the Department of Human Settlements published a bill to rewrite it. Public comment closes on Sunday. So what does the bill actually say? And would it change anything on the ground at Thornhill, in Umhlali, or at P445? Attorney Gavin Stanhobel is a property law and land use specialist, and he's going to be answering some of these questions for us. Gavin, welcome to Uncensored. Gavin, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good to be back.
Yeah, so the PIE Act was written to protect vulnerable people from unlawful eviction, but in reality, it's left property owners the losers, while the people profiting from invasions face no consequences. In April, the department published a bill to amend the Act. Now, can you walk us through what it actually proposes, what changes for a landowner, and what changes for an occupier?
I think, yeah, sure. I think what we need to remember is that the PIE Act, when it came in 98, we'd come from a regime where we respected property rights. You know, if you had a title deed and somebody came onto your property, it was presumed that you haven't given them permission. Yeah. And so we came from a culture of really enforcing private property rights in our country and you having strong private property rights, to a well-meaning bit of legislation where they said, look, you know, when you evict somebody, you can't just wake up one morning and evict somebody who's been working on your farm for 20 years. You know, that's iniquitous. So you need to get a court order. The court has to decide and weigh up a lot of things. Yeah. And decide how this eviction will happen, when it'll happen. And so the old Act had, like all Acts of Parliament, it had some criteria that you had to follow. But they weren't that particular, so you had to sort of think, well, you know, what criteria, what do they mean by these criteria? So in those days, I remember, because you'd have somebody wants to evict somebody, and they go, well, we've now got the PIE Act, so you have to think of a lot of things you didn't have to think about. One of them was the person in for a period of less than 6 months, then the court was a little bit less strict about it. If they were there for more than 6 months, you suddenly as a landowner had to come up with the alternative accommodation, or at least show the court that they had somewhere to go.
Yeah.
To prevent homelessness or whatever the cause was. And now suddenly your property rights kind of get eroded, in the sense that you still have your rights, but they're not as clear cut and maybe not that easy to enforce in a court of law. And so as my colleagues who were acting for people who were being evicted started to realize, this Act can actually, although it was intended probably for farm workers, it doesn't say that. So you can use it, for example, if somebody wants to evict somebody from a flat in town.
Yeah.
And they go, well, you know, I'm a mother with a child, and, you know, the husband or the father of the child's not helping us, and we can't pay the rent, and have you got somewhere to go? Because the Act says, you know, if they've been there for more than 6 months, one of the criteria that you'd have is you'd have to show the court they've got somewhere to go. They're not going to help you with that and say, well, we do have somewhere to go. So, you know, you end up in this situation where, as the owner, it's quite frustrating. Or the court won't give an immediate order of eviction. They'll say, well, you know, let's give them 2 months to make a plan. And now 2 months, you've got no rental and it's completely your loss. And you're not going to be able to recover those losses from somebody who can't pay rent in the first place. Yeah. So it became, I'm just giving you the background, it became very difficult and complex. And then, you know, when you started to deal with evictions, for example, and, you know, land in the district and so forth, it was unclear, like, did you have to bring the municipality into the application or didn't you? And did the municipality have to give them alternative accommodation? And so there was a big matter in Port Elizabeth where the High Court kind of set out some ideas and what we should follow, but it was never really that clear. So you were always in this sort of where we used to have very certain positions with land rights. Now, suddenly, as an owner trying to evict somebody, you end up in this sort of uncertainty. Do I join the municipality to this this application to court? Is the municipality going to have to provide alternative accommodation? Can I evict them before that's arranged? The municipality normally doesn't want more problems than it already has, so it doesn't really want to be involved. And so I think it's become such that the Well-Meaning Act can actually be abused by people with bad intent.
Yeah, but and we so, actually and have that's seen
where
it.
That's exactly where we are today. Yeah. Today we are in a situation where people invade land knowing that it's going to take the owner several months, several years to get an order to get them off. And that's quite attractive. And then you've also got a class of people who say, well, we'll identify land and sell it to people.
Yeah, and we've seen that happening.
And the people pay, some of them presumably in good faith, and then at the end of the day find out that they're illegal occupiers of land. But by the time that the rubber hits the road with an eviction process down the years, the people who sold the land are gone with the money. So, you know, it's like all well-meaning legislation, it can be abused. And so there is a bill. And basically what a bill is before something becomes an act of parliament, they draft what the law will look like, call it a bill, and then they'll put it before parliament to be voted on. And if the bill is accepted, it becomes an act of parliament. And then once it's signed by the president, it's in effect. So you'll often see an act is dated 98, but it's only was signed by the president a year later or something like that. Then, you know, in any event, now we've got a bill and it proposes to address the shortcomings of the Prevention of Illegal Eviction and Unlawful Occupation of Land Act. Everybody focuses on the illegal eviction. You can't just evict people.
Yeah.
But that act also sought to prevent unlawful occupation of land because we didn't want a free-for-all on land, especially state land. The act has come in and it's addressed, to my mind, some of the issues and in other ways maybe muddied the water further. But we can chat about that because that's the point of this discussion.
Yeah. In what way has it muddied the water? What do you mean by that?
Let's go through it like in a... So in the old act, they said it is a criminal offence if you, for remuneration, facilitate or orchestrate the occupation, the illegal occupation of land. All right?
Yeah.
So when somebody did that, you'd have to go to court, but you'd have to show that they were paid. That's a very hard thing to show.
Yeah, especially
first of all, if they were paid
sale,
in cash, the guy said, well, I was just trying to help people. I didn't receive anything, you know. Or they get paid into a different bank account or, you know, there's several means by which you can disguise the fact that you've paid somebody. And so under the new bill that they're proposing, you don't have to prove that they received anything, any remuneration. You just have to prove that they did facilitate this.
And how do you prove that? I mean, witnesses?
You'd have to call the person who was. You might have evidence where people have swept up a crowd and they've gone and occupied land.
Yeah,
sort of. In that case, they'd be guilty of a criminal offence. You know. We must take the land, sort of characters like Julius Malema would have to be careful here because if they incite the illegal occupation of any land, they're committing a criminal offence.
Okay.
And the offence is punishable with a 2 million rand fine or 2 years in jail or both.
Yeah.
So whether the courts would go that far and I don't know. We're going to have to find out. Yeah. So that was the one thing they've kind of cleaned up. That was a prosecutorial problem, is that you had this additional burden to prove that the person actually received some remuneration.
And that is
and that is difficult to prove. So we don't have to prove that anymore. We just need some kind of evidence that this person ran about inciting people, or that he sold land or whatever he did. But you don't have to prove that he was paid.
Okay. And you know, the current situation, we're just going to bring it locally on the North Coast. There is a parcel of land on the P445, which is the Belito extension, just behind Sharker's Head, where there has been a systematic land invasion on the municipal land that was earmarked for development. And the Kodikusa municipality approached the High Court in 2023. The Abashlali Jolo Shack movement, they've actually been defending that case. Currently, the Maritzburg High Court has ordered Kodikusa municipality to they've granted the eviction, but they have to provide alternative accommodation. And this is where the process has stalled, because Kodikusa is saying that they don't have any land, or the land that they actually have to move the community to, Flaxbrait, has got no services, and they aren't allowed to move them until
it'll be a disaster if they just move them there.
And it's far away. So now with this new act, it's possibly talking about where the municipality doesn't have to provide alternative accommodation. Is that correct? So the onus now is not on...
No, not necessarily. But it is. The Act does say that in circumstances, the court may not require that alternative accommodation be available.
Yeah.
So very important if we can... So that... The one good thing, well, there's a couple of things that we must talk about. One is that, you know, when you want to bring a court application, you have to prove that you've got locus standi.
Which
That means that you've got the right to approach the court in a particular matter. So, okay. For example, if I go to court and I say, listen, you know, Dave and Judy are not happily married, and I want to seek an order for their divorce. The court will go, well, who are you? You're not married to either of them. You've got no locus standi. Okay. So if you want to evict somebody from land, I can't go to court and say, well, somebody's occupied the municipality's land, I want them evicted. They're going to say, well, it's not your land. You've got no locus standi to appear before this court in this matter.
Okay.
And so what happened is that there'll be a land invasion. You've got to act quick. And the land won't necessarily belong to the local municipality. It might belong to the Department of Forestry. It might belong to the South African Defence Force or whatever. But it's been left in the care of the local municipality, and they are basically... So whoever's a person in charge now can also, under the new bill, approach court and say, look... the owner's not easily reachable, but I'm the person in charge. I'm the farm manager, or I'm whatever, and because I'm in charge of this land, I've now got locus standi, and
sure,
I can approach the court.
Big, yeah.
So that made that a bit easier.
Yeah.
The second thing is that we never really used to know when you would join the municipality or when you wouldn't in a matter. So a joinder is when the court won't give you relief unless everybody who's going to be affected by it has been told about the case, and they've been given an opportunity to represent themselves in the case.
Yes.
So quite often you go, why would we join the municipality in this matter? Well, now it's compulsory. So
would like a homeowners association be one of the people to join the matter? Would
possibly, if it's on common property and so forth. Yeah, for sure. So, and then just getting back to your original question, the court must decide whether or not to grant the eviction order, and it will grant it if it's just and equitable. So what does that even mean? You know, is it, you know, just and equitable? And we always thought about that, and the courts would go, well, you know, in this case it's just and equitable, in that case it's not. For example, just and equitable would be a consideration if you've got a farm worker and the farmer's decided to dismiss him, and at the same time say, well, you know, you don't no longer work for me, clear off the farm. And the court would look and say, well, you know, hang on, this chap has gone to the CCMA and said he was unfairly dismissed, so it wouldn't be just and equitable right now when we don't know if his dismissal was fair to evict him. So, you know, or yes, he has used up all his appeals and he is evicted, and it is just and equitable. He can't just stay there if he doesn't work there, you know. So the idea of just and equitable, the new bill has given us some more tools.
Okay.
One is that it specifically says that you must look at the intention of the person who's in occupation. So if their intention is to invade your land, that's bad intent. And the court is definitely going to say, well, just and equitable, get them off. And then might even look at saying, well, why is it the owner's problem that you need somewhere to go? You shouldn't be here in the first place,
yes.
You know, and we're going to kick you off. Now, I know that the one matter that you've been covering up here, Abid, is people that are buying land from nefarious people, and they're constructing 3-4-bedroom dwellings that'll be good enough to be in town.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are people who definitely can make another arrangement.
Yeah, and a lot of the argument has been that the municipality or the government hasn't supplied any houses, and out of desperation, they invade the land.
Desperate people come along with some bits of corrugated iron.
Absolutely.
And build
and
a shack.
In this scenario,
if you're going to build a 3-bedroom brick and mortar house, then you're not a desperate person.
Yeah.
You're an opportunist.
And, you know, they call it plot farming, where the syndicates are actually selling land they've never owned, and sometimes under the guise of tribal chiefs. And that is what we've seen, you know, happening at Thornhill. And I just want to say, you know, does anything in this bill recover the money that the people have had to pay for the piece of land? And some of the plots that they've been farming on private property have sold from 50,000 rand, and gone right up.
Yeah.
So who would the bill target now? The person who bought the land, knowing that the land wasn't actually theirs.
You've got to unpick it. So first of all, you've got the person who sold the land and didn't have the right to sell it.
Yes.
They've committed a criminal offence, and they can go to jail for that. And
okay.
And then obviously for each transaction that they do, there's a fine of possibly 2 million rand or a prison sentence of 2 years. You know, so you can, if it's exercised per offence, if you go and sell 50 plots, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one side of it. So they're the You'll pull them in front of the criminal courts. In the eviction matter, the person who, let's just say, arguably in good faith paid for this land and now realizes they can't acquire any title to the land, or they're there illegally, well, they must be evicted. Whether, you know, and there again, the court will look at their intention, which might not have been one of bad faith, although it's hard to believe that somebody would not realize what's going
especially
on.
Especially if you're going to part with that much money.
But even so, you know, you would have to restore the landowner to, you know, to vacant property like they had.
Yeah.
You know, especially this one property which has been earmarked for low-cost housing. So,
it was.
You know, by these people invading it, actually they're creating a bigger housing problem than what they claim to be solving with their self-help.
Yeah.
Because now those low-cost homes won't be built on that land for the foreseeable future. So,
and it isn't – those, as you said, those people that have moved in and taken over the property aren't the people that
the
needed those homes.
No, they're not the destitute.
Some of them are holiday homes. And I just want to ask you, so at the moment, we've seen how much money the private property owner has had to outlay to go to the court to get the eviction. And it's been, you know,
spend R1 million, you
easily.
Know, on something like this. Yeah.
So there's been two evictions. The first eviction was granted. The houses were demolished. The people came back a little bit later, built again. And now the second eviction wasn't enforced because the authorities didn't enforce it as per.
They didn't have the stomach for it.
And now back again, third time. So with this new bill, and there's a property owner just a little bit further from where this is happening, and he can't afford the legal costs to get his land back. So is there any legal repercussions for the property owner? Because if you don't, it seems right now, if you don't have money, you can't defend your property.
Well, that's exactly right. It costs money to go to court, and a matter like this, where you're approaching the High Court, you're employing advocates, and you know they're working at, you know, tens of thousands of rands an hour. So, that's just unavoidable. Your rights sort of almost end when your wallet ends.
Yeah,
that's always been the case.
So, this bill does it address any of these issues?
No, it doesn't. You know, you'll just traditionally, if you're successful and you get an eviction order, you will have a cost order. But, you know, a cost order still requires you to tax a bill of costs, issue a warrant of execution for those costs, and then go and find something worth attaching to recover your costs. So ultimately, you're just left carrying the can, and it is iniquitous, you know. The court does make the new bill does actually entitle the court now to deal with things like, you know, post eviction demolition of structures, and because that was also always a grey area. Well, you know, we've evicted them. What about their structures? You know, what must we do with that? I mean, there's value there. If we keep it, do we owe them the fair cost of building it, or if we destroy it, have we destroyed their property?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, in as far as there might be contents or so on. So the court can now deal with it. And I think all people that draft papers going forward will ask for an order for eviction and an order for demolition.
Okay.
So that's improved. And then probably the last thing that's in the bill that wasn't in the bill before is some mandatory mediation process. And the idea behind mediation is you get the parties together before a mediator and you try and get to a resolve instead of having a long drawn out court case.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't really believe that that's often has any result at all. And now you've lost time going and having something mediated where the other party's in bad faith. They don't want to leave and they're not going to agree to leave. And then only once your mediation fails, are you getting on with your case?
Yeah.
In which case, you've just lost a whole lot of time again. So I'm not sure that I think that's great. I think the authority and the should lie with the High Court, and you should be able to approach them, and you should be able to approach them urgently. So the bill does address quite a number of things in a positive way. Has it resolved everything? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Has it made it easier? No. You know,
I think the penalties are a big thing because the
big thing as well, you know, I mean, trespass is a common law crime.
Yeah,
in our
country. Always been that.
It's always been that. Yeah, and so we actually, one of the ways that we could really deal with this and stamp it out in its infancy would be for the South African police to be prepared to arrest and prosecute people for trespass. You know, that would short circuit the whole thing. And that is actually within their remit.
Yeah. And it's the law right now. You don't have to wait.
And it's the law. You don't have to wait. Yeah, you can go and arrest people, bring them before a magistrate and fine or imprison them if they're repeat offenders for trespass. Yeah. You know, so that would be the perfect resolution to all of this, where the police just go round the people up and have them before court on Monday, just like they do at roadblocks.
I know. But you know what? That's the contradiction at the center of all this, because they cannot enforce the eviction orders. We've seen it at Thornhill.
Hmm.
Eviction order was issued. They had to enforce it. And there's even criminal penalties that they couldn't enforce. So it seems like the problem is enforcement, not the law. Is that not the case?
Well, like all things in our country, you know, you need a certain will on the part of government to do the right thing. And so here you need some kind of will on the part of the police and on the part of the sheriff to get the job done.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that will, then you're going to come up against a barrage of excuses and delays and you get worn down by it. You know, nothing will happen. You get frustrated and you'll wonder if it's all worth it.
Yeah.
So, we do. I mean, this country, we rely on our institutions to work. And so, you know, again, whether the owner might have some damages claim against the institutions for not doing their work is a good question.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that they will have. But you're going to have to go through this frustrating period. I think it's going to be better for people under the new act.
Yeah.
It's going to be better because also a lot of this gives a signal to the courts. You know, the courts need to get told by the laws what they should do. And if the message from Parliament is you need to toughen up on these things and we need to get some better results, we need to protect property rights, then the courts will also be more inclined to say, well, this is our remit, this is our mandate, this is what we have to do, and they'll be more sort of proactive about it. So, yeah, it is... It's a very good sign for South Africa, especially under the idea of expropriation without compensation and this idea of continual erosion of property rights, which is an economic disaster if it ever happens. This is one of the few little shining lights that says to you, well, maybe they're not that serious about it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we are going in the right direction.
I think so. I think, you know what, when I listened to the human settlements minister and how he expressed it, and this is a problem that we're seeing throughout the country, where housing projects now have stalled because there is this underlying cartel that has moved in. And, you know, they saw the opportunity. And I don't know if they're in cahoots, because right now in our region alone, every time there's a parcel of land that needs to be developed, all of a sudden you get the land that's been invaded.
Well, I mean, if you're going to, if people are going to benefit from criminal behavior and they're going to continue behaving like that with impunity, they'd be fools to stop.
Yeah,
because they're getting wealthy from
this. And it's a massive...
I bet it's big money.
Yeah, and huge.
I mean, it's tax-free money, because I don't believe that they've found the Commissioner for Inland Revenue and told them that they received 50 grand in a checker's bag, you know. It's attractive for people who are not too bothered by the law. And if nobody stops them, nobody enforces these laws, they'll just continue. And it'll become more rampant, like anything you don't address becomes a bigger and a bigger problem.
I feel that there has to be almost a coalition with the government, the owners, and the police services to work together.
Yeah, you know, and until you get that will.
Yes, until maybe you see consequence of someone who is actually prosecuted. And I know at Thornhill, there is a criminal case at the moment, currently before the magistrates' court, against the two people who trespassed and illegally sold the land. But that case has appeared before court now 11 times. So what does that say for our court
process?
Where's
the world, you know?
Absolutely.
If you're serious, you'd get the damn thing heard. And so where's the world, you know?
If this bill was now, like law, would those two guys, would they be facing jail time? Or would the process still be protracted?
It could be if the prosecution and that are not driving it.
Yeah, so the MPA has to also get on board now.
But their job would also be a little bit easier, because as we said earlier, they don't have to prove that these people received any benefit from organizing these land invasions.
Yeah.
And so the case is a lot easier to prove, or the obverse, a lot harder to defend. So, at the moment, there's people just taking full advantage of the fact that, you know, there are loopholes, and the previous act, although well-intended, does also help people with bad intent.
Yeah, well, and never let a bad situation go unprofitable. That's
exactly
what we've seen it everywhere. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, but I think we need to give the right, you know, we're in a country now where... we need to give the right signals about property and property rights.
And it's so important.
In Zimbabwe, when they started their farm invasions, and farmers would phone the local police station and they said, we don't want to get involved. That was the beginning of the end, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got a situation now where they're not saying they don't want to get involved, but they don't really want to break their backs doing it either.
Well, they sat and watched the entire, with a court eviction order, they sat and watched the entire episode unfold. And there was even a local councillor there trying to actually, you know, defend the entire case.
Yeah.
So I think, Gavin, when you look at this, does it have teeth? Do you think this bill could possibly?
I think it makes it a lot easier.
Okay.
It is very helpful, what's being proposed, but again, it's going to come down on whether or not the institutions have the will to enforce it.
Yeah,
and so that's ultimately what we're looking at here. You know, one of the big problems we have is interference from the political class. Like you said, you have a councillor present. I mean, this is not a matter that involves a town councillor. You know, this is a matter between the landowner and the people that have been that
he
have
should
occupied
rather
the land.
Be driving the housing projects, like saying, you know what, this vision on this land, I mean, I looked at the plans.
Or at the very least, as a town councillor, be supporting the police and the courts.
Yes,
because,
absolutely.
You know, rather than the criminals.
Yeah, but you know what, it's a local government election, so they all have to do their part for
seem
their
to be,
voters.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And
I think this is just that it's always been in this country ever since 1994. It is just that tension between people with socialist and communist aspirations and capitalists.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always going to be that. And we know that economically we do need to have a capitalist approach because it works best and it lifts all boats. And, you know, you're going to end up in a situation in this country where more people are employed. We can't carry on growing at 1% and having a population growing at several percent more than that. So, you know, we're going to have to make a decision as a country. Are we going to take the high road or the low road, as the late Kim Santo always used to say?
I feel that the syndicates, those guys are not worried about socialism and empowering the landless.
They're purely opportunistic people.
Yeah.
You know, they've noticed that they can get away with it.
Yeah. And they have actually made, you know, they've muddied the water for everyone. You know, because when you've explained how the bill works and it had all the good intentions, it's this element that took the gaps in the bill and completely took advantage of it.
And then also just think about all the people that would have got employed in the construction industry when the low-cost houses were being built. They're now going to continue being unemployed. Yes. So it has a massive social knock-on that,
absolutely,
you know, that these people have, they're not interested in it anyway. But they just want
and
to
the
make
genuine people who need homes are now still waiting 10 years down the line for a house. So, Gavin, one last question before you go. And I know we're going to be carrying on following this, and we want to see how it's also going to unfold, because there's three cases playing out right now with the state land at Mhlali, the municipal land, KDM, and in Stanger, the private property land. Do you think that we can actually see, a little bit of teeth in this bill, we can see some action? And in terms of the timeline, what are we looking at? Are we going to be waiting for years for something to come? What are we looking at?
No, I think the period for comment on the bill expires now. So
yeah, it was on Sunday.
Yeah, that's
it expired
right.
On,
on
Sunday.
So now we're looking they're going to have to look at the comments that they received, make a final draft and put it before Parliament. So it could happen quite quickly if the politicians are serious about it.
Yeah, what are we looking at? Months, years? What are we looking at possibly?
I don't know. It could be an act of Parliament by next year.
Okay.
You know?
There is recourse.
Much depends on who's driving it and whether it's going to get done.
Yeah. I feel like government
I still think that the old act is still in play, and it is good enough if the institutions are prepared to do their job.
It is good enough.
Yeah, you know, you can get evictions under that act, especially in the circumstances that we're talking about.
It's a political will, as you keep saying. Yeah.
So you can jack up the act, but you need to jack up the act, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. That is the crux of the issue. Yeah. Hey? It's political will and enforcement to put the laws into practice.
Exactly right. But the old act is good enough for these cases.
Okay.
The new act is better, but in either event, you're going to have to rely on the people have to go physically do the evicting.
Well, let's see. There's a lot of there's a lot of movement on the ground at the moment. Things are slowly, starting to.
I think it's a general trend in this country. People are sort of coming out of the sleepwalking and saying,
absolutely,
"Whoa, we got to start thinking about running this country better."
Yeah, and I think people have had enough as well. Hey?
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, Gavin. It's very insightful information, and we will be following this this case as it unravels, and we're going to be having you back on shortly.
Looking forward
to it. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Penny.
When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security. As the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring, with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 50 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.